This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
It is the holiday season. Unfortunately, that means it is also the scam season. People across the country are ready for shopping, but bad actors are ready for scamming. How do we avoid scams? And what should we do if we think we've been scammed?
Scammers already got their websites up and running.
We're asking someone from the Better Business Bureau. This is WBTV's Good Question.
We are joined now by Tom Bartholomew of the Better Business Bureau. Tom, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's good to be with you again.
Wanted to ask first, in general, how have scams ramped up in the last few years? I feel like we're hearing about more and more scams across the country.
It's unprecedented, insane. Never, you know, in all of my 30 plus year career with BBB, I've never seen anything like this. Scammers were like, they had their toolboxes ready for this type of catastrophic event to happen. And they just unleashed everything they had on everybody, not just in the United States, but across the world.
What have been some of the popular scams that the Better Business Bureau has caught wind of?
Number one for the last 3 years, and not surprisingly, is online purchase scams, because everybody's buying habits changed from brick and mortar stores. Let's go to the mall. When everybody's quarantined and locked down, it's, well, we've got to buy stuff. So let's go online and get what we need. And so scammers are at the ready. It takes surprisingly little time to put up a new website with great looking merchandise that everybody wants, everybody needs. I mean, early in the pandemic, it was hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and masks. You couldn't find them anywhere in a store. So here come the websites that all created in China, all created within a week of when people were accessing this. You know, you start down that internet rabbit hole of looking for, you know, looking, and then you finally find it, and it's like, ta-da, I found it. But you don't know where you are. You don't know what website you're on. You don't know if this is a company you can trust. But people were so excited that they finally found what they were looking for. It's just like they turn that switch off and go ahead and put in their credit card information to a phony website. Just, you know, it had their credit card dinged at the same time that they had their identity stolen.
Jeez. How serious can the repercussions be when you do something like that and end up giving your personal information or financial information to a bad actor?
I mean, at that point, it can be life altering. It's one thing to have your credit card charged for $200. You can get that back. You know, there's a federal law that protects you when you're using your credit card, but some people weren't using a credit card. They use a debit card or some other payment method where that federal protection is not there. So not only are you losing money, but you're also losing your identity at the same time. And because those websites are primarily, we call them harvesters. They're harvesting data. So whatever data they can get from you, that then they compile it with everything else that they learned from you on Facebook or your Instagram account or whatever social media that you participate in, and they put together this really nice package, and then they sell it on the dark web for $100. But then once those bad actors, once that information spreads out and people are wondering, well, why? How can I keep on getting these spam phone calls? And how can I keep on getting these texts? And how can I keep getting these emails? Because they've put a whole profile together on you. And now you've added your credit card information or debit card information or banking information. And it's become more valuable to them to be able to sell.
Goodness gracious. How easy is it for someone to become a harvester or a scammer and use a fake website?
It's shockingly easy. You or I could do it in 5 minutes. And if you find a product or service that is in high demand and you put up a website that is confusingly similar to what somebody's actually looking for, and then you pay a little bit of money to Google or Facebook to get prominence on their listings when people are searching for that, literally minutes that you could be up and running and ripping people off.
That's pretty ridiculous how easy it is these days. You guys put out an alert ahead of Black Friday. Why did you want to do that?
Well, we've learned a few things from the pandemic and from previous Black Fridays, but especially Cyber Monday, really the whole package around the start of the shopping season, and trying to let people know that, okay, we've learned things as recently from Halloween shopping on what scammers are up to right now. And so here's what we've learned, and here's what you can use as takeaways from that to protect yourself. You know, it's one thing to go into that brick and mortar store and be able to touch it and feel it and say, okay, this is a good deal. I've done my comparison shopping online. That's a great way of educating yourself, knowing what you want, looking for it online, finding the best place to do it, go into that store if it's convenient for you to do so, feel it, touch it, make sure it meets your expectations, buy it, and walk out the door. It's not always possible. And so that's why we have to take more precautions when we're shopping online, looking for that hot new toy that is out this year, or that piece of electronics, the iPhone 14. What do I need to be able to get that? Those hot items, scammers already got their websites up and running, ready for you to access.
So do you think specifically, are we talking about, I remember the Furby craze back in the day, those Furby toys, that was something that people were struggling to get in stores. Are those the type of items that you guys are thinking are ripe for scammers?
Oh, precisely. Because that's what every parent, every grandparent is looking for. They've heard what little Johnny or little Janie wants for Christmas. And so they start the hunt. I mean, I remember this when my son was young, we've got to find this Megatron Transformer thing. And so we went to every store and finally found the last one in the last store that but now with the internet, that whole process has changed, which makes it easier, but it also makes us a lot more susceptible to being taken advantage of.
Yeah, that's a great point. What should people look out for if they're doing online shopping?
Primarily, before you go to put in your information to make that purchase at checkout, go over to BBB.org, do a quick search of that company, what other people's experience has been with that company. If you don't find them on BBB.org, might be a foreign website, go to whois.com. That will tell you, you plug in the web address for what you're on, that will tell you when that website was created and where it was created. So if the website you find yourself on was created in China last week, you might want to think twice about putting your banking information or credit card information is, because it's probably, not probably, more than likely that's one of the phony websites that we're talking about.
I know a lot of scams revolve around the digital world these days, but are there any in-person scams that people need to be on the lookout for?
There are. They're certainly not as prominent, but we still have some door-to-door issue scams. We have porch pirates with taking packages off of people's porches, which will start happening the day after Cyber Monday. The phony texts that you're going to start receiving the day after Cyber Monday saying that your delivery is delayed, click here to find out what your options are. If you get that and it says it's from UPS or DHL or USPS, FedEx, it's not. It's a scammer that's, again, harvesting data. As soon as you click on that, a pop-up comes up. It's going to gather information, including they're going to ask you, what credit card number did you use to make this purchase? And people are giving it up because they don't want their delivery to be delayed. You know, we've got to get that so we can wrap it and have it ready for Christmas morning. And so it's just the mentality that we have of, I want it, I found it, I want it now. And don't tell me that it's going to be delayed in getting to me, because that's going to create more anxiety than what I need during the season. And that's exactly what these scammers feed on.
Gosh, only got a couple more for you, Tom, and then I'll let
sure.
you go. The porch pirate thing you mentioned brings up a good point, because so many people order off Amazon or just order online in general these days. What can you do to protect yourself against a porch pirate? How do you avoid that?
You can do a few things. There's no pure, clean answer to that. If you're employed, have it sent to where you work. And because the deliveries will primarily be during those hours. If you know you're not going to be there and you're not at work or you're not accessible, have it sent to a friend's house or a relative's house that's nearby that you know is going to be there. So those are a couple, or you can have it so that signature is required on accepting the delivery. That can be a hassle. FedEx and UPS have physical locations that with lockers that you can have it sent to one of those lockers, and then you can go and pick it up there. Again, not the most convenient. I like it on my porch. Yes, everybody likes to have it on their porch, but nobody wants to have their stuff stolen either. So take those kind of steps. May not be as convenient, but you're not going to get your stuff ripped off either.
Is there anything you can do once you have been scammed, or are you likely just out whatever money you've lost?
It depends on the scam. If you used a credit card, you're going to be able to get your money back, but your identity is still at risk. If you used any other type of payment, more than likely that's gone. These are not homegrown actors. These are in Asia, they're in West Africa, they're in South America. You're just not going to be able to get recovery from those types of situations. You have to take the precautions up front to prevent yourself from being, basically in the web of one of those bad actors.
I was about to say, if you think your identity has been stolen, do you need to try and cancel a bunch of credit cards or alert the government? What's the best option?
Two things. It depends on what was compromised. So if it was your credit card, alert the credit card company. If it's any banking information, alert the bank. And then you can go to the three credit reporting agencies and have a freeze put on your credit history. You can make it so it's temporary. It's not the most convenient thing in the world, because I want to get that new credit card, or I want to buy this on time. And they're going to check your credit, and they're going to see that there's a freeze on it, and you're going to get turned down. So you can put that freeze on. It's free to do so. And you can have it taken off for like an hour while you're doing that other type of transaction. So those are hardcore ways of stopping a scammer in their tracks. Some people I know that haven't been compromised still put a freeze on their account, because there are other ways that your information can be accessed besides just through you giving it up to the scammer yourself.
If you think you've been hit by a porch pirate or door-to-door fraudster, good to file a police report, or not even worth the time?
I would file a police report. They're going to be getting a number of these, but they do follow up. They know that in some situations, some parts of our area, that there are gangs that basically one of their operatives follows the UPS truck and follows them into a neighborhood and drops off the package. If somebody doesn't pick it up with 5 minutes, they're up at the door and walking away with it. File a police report, notify the shipper, and see what kind of recovery you can get from those.
Tom, anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
I think you've hit it. Great questions as usual, Alex.
I appreciate it, sir. Tom Bartholomew of the Better Business Bureau, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Sure thing. Good to be with you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios in Uptown Charlotte.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.